Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Guantanamo is the best place to hold these hard.
And now my question for Tyson, and I was just wondering if you had to spend a night with a man.
The jury of the International Zurich Film Festival has decided to proceed in honoring
these polls are created using a third-party application through the website.
You are going to hell.
Poop.
World-famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Welcome to the program here tonight. Roman Polanski will be extradited back to the United States. He has been arrested in Switzerland for the 1977 molestation, rape, statutory rape of a 13-year-old girl for which he fled the country prior to his sentencing that year, and has been a fugitive from American justice ever since. Los Angeles authorities have arrested him along with the Swiss authorities, so I guess he is coming back to the States. And we'll talk about that in the show, but I'm really going to be interested to look at the media surrounding this, because not really the media. The media, I thought, was fair with Michael Jackson. It was the response of a certain segment of our society, mostly just the rank and file. A lot of virulent hatred for Michael Jackson, even though the guy was never convicted of a crime. Roman Polanski has been convicted. I wonder how many people are going to... I mean, if Polanski's guilty and Michael Jackson wasn't guilty, Polanski, they're going to draw and quarter his ass, don't you think? I mean, they won't give him a funeral the day he dies. They'll throw his ass into a pauper's grave someplace. It'll be unmarked. I mean, if you're using the same standard, but we'll discuss that. Right out of the gate here tonight, on the Phil Hendry Show, a show that is not ideological in the traditional sense, because I can't be. I would probably die if I had to be a Republican or a Democrat or a conservative or a liberal. There was a time in my life when I was a liberal, but that ended on September the 11th, 2001. And what became of me, I'm not quite sure. I remain a registered Democrat. Some people call us 9/11 Democrats. Maybe you've heard that, or South Park Republicans. I don't know what any of that means, but I think what it means is I don't belong to any of those groups anymore because, well, I want to survive. If I had to be one of them, I think I would just die of heart failure. I mean, just the thought of having to hang around with those bastards is enough to kill anybody, at least anybody, I think, with any reason. So I've decided that I'll just back away and I'll just be whatever the hell it is I feel like I'm being, you know, on any given day. It depends on the issue. The only thing I believe in is the country. And if that's not good enough for some people, they can take it and shove it sideways, you know.
What ideology are you?
I just believe in what's right for the country.
Oh, well, you're not taking a stand, are you?
Yeah, you're right. Backing up the country is not taking a stand.
Well, everybody says they're backing up the country.
Everybody says they're backing up the country, but they're lying. I'm the first guy in, well, not the first, but I may be one of the first in recent memory to actually say that and mean it. What do you think of that? Now, the first thing we have to announce tonight, if you haven't figured it out, the health care reform plan is dead. Dead, 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 man. It is dead. It has effectively been killed by, number one, the ham-fisted and amateurish manner in which the White House rolled it out, the imbeciles that they used to sell it, and I'm not talking about Sheila Jackson Lee necessarily, who is on the television right now. I think she's talking to Greta Van Susteren. She was one of the more well-spoken people. I think she did a good job in trying to explain it. However, in the environment that we were in, which included this Tea Party Express, sort of the American gothic version of the Nazi brown shirts, you know, sort of a more benign and family friendly with jello molds. Like the Tea Party Express, they're like the Nazis with bundt cake. Well, I shouldn't say bundt.
Is that German?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, German.
Yeah, bundt cake. It means Nazi cake, basically.
All right.
What they did is they used every trick in the book, and that includes lying. They said, for instance, the Canadians hated their health care plan. Lie. They said, for instance, that it was going to be taken over by the government. Lie. They said that, you know, they're going to kill old people. Lie, 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 lie. When all of those lies got exposed, the big fallback was too many taxes, too many taxes, too many taxes, too many taxes. We don't want taxes. You know, their bullcrap was so fast and furious that you had a hard time keeping up with it and deflecting it, you know. For instance, if they had rolled out the too many taxes line more often, probably the most credible of all of their inartful arguing, well, then you'd say this. You'd say, is it too high in taxes?
Yes.
Well, what if we took that money instead and gave it to you? Well, that would do a lot better. You remember when you heard that one?
That would make more sense.
Well, wait a minute. It's still taxes, isn't it?
Well, it's taxes, but I'm getting the money back.
Yeah, but it's still red ink. It's still red ink, man. We're still carrying it on the books as red ink. It's still deficit spending. It's still robbing our children. Well, I do much better with that money than the government. Yeah, how do I know that? What's your plan? Show me your business plan. I don't have to. It's my money. All right, well, here's what I think. Not that I'm going to be shy and telling you what I think. It's a talk show, for God's sake. If I'm shy and telling you what I think, I got to find something else to do. Here's exactly what I'm thinking right now. And if you think I'm kidding, I'm not. I say give it all back. I say give it all back. All that stimulus money, I say we force the states and anybody else that was a beneficiary of that money, give it back to Washington or take it off the books as red ink, write it off of the books, however they've recorded that money, because I know it wasn't money that was actually taken out of the Treasury. There wasn't enough of it. And the one thing that I would look forward to doing is to force Detroit to give all that money back and have them go under. I couldn't be happier contemplating that possibility. I want Detroit and the banks to go belly up. Now, you understand that saying what I'm saying right now, the people that were against the stimulus and against the bailouts, they'll say the following. Oh, you can't do that now. The money's all mixed together. It's all, you know, it's all been commingled with all the other monies. You can't do that. Well, what if I could find a way to actually do it? Do you know that the people who are opposed to the stimulus and who are opposed to the bailout in Detroit, if I could find a way to separate the money out that was given to those people in Detroit and to all of the states and to the different programs by way of the stimulus, if I could actually find a way to get all that money separated out and give it back to Washington or give it back to the taxpayers or however that money was accounted for, I'll bet you anything those anti-stimulus and anti-GM and Chrysler bailout people, they'd be pissed off anyway. They'd find a reason to criticize that.
Well, you shouldn't have done it in the first place.
No, you're right. We shouldn't have done it in the first place. But we're giving all the money back. All those banks that were going to go belly up, they're going belly up now, man. And I want a million guys on the street or however many they're employing in Detroit, I want them all on the bricks today. Out of a job. Right now. I've heard the argument. That's capitalism. You let the company go under if it's going to go under. I mean, it's a dog-eat-dog world. Stick their asses on the street today, right now, at this moment. Do it. And those banks and the FDIC not being able to cover all of them? Sorry. And those people that had deposits in those banks and people that had maybe their retirement tied up with some of those banks and people that had their bank notes or the mortgage to their homes in those banks? Tough luck. I am ready and I'm willing and I'm able for all of the tax Tea Party jackasses and jackholes and their fellow travelers to have their way. I want all of you people now to show your prescription for America, and I know what it is. Don't tax the people. Let the people take that money and work with it. You're absolutely right. Forget about the fact that with the collapse of an industry like the auto industry in America and with the collapse of banks that are worth billions, that your little idea, for instance, to start a hardware store or your little idea to start maybe one of those outdoor adventure companies, you know, you take people backpacking or a bait shop or whatever it may be, your little idea, as grand as it may be and as American as it may be, what people have been trying to say, what I've been trying to say, is the calamity facing this country is of such proportion that it would take thousands and thousands and thousands of those companies over a great many years to make up for what is going to be lost when you lose a major industry like the auto construction business and the auto manufacturing business, as well as many of the support financial institutions that are connected to it and other businesses. But they don't care about that. That's a lot of really clever talk. Oh, that's a lot of clever talk. You know, you're being much too clever. So, you're right, I'm being much too clever. Let's just talk straight, you know? Like that guy in the Birdcage? Remember, what's the guy's name?
Yeah, Gene Hackman. He goes, all those clever books and everything.
Yeah, all those clever books. I'm ready right now. I think that that's the prescription. Remember how some of us were saying, you know, this country, we probably ought to absorb another terrorist attack just so that people would pull their heads up out of their asses and, you know, take a sniff of the roses. But God, you know, thank God it didn't happen. You know, it didn't happen. I mean, as much as I might have wanted it to on some level, I also didn't want it to happen for the obvious reasons. But sometimes you want a wake-up call. I think this would be great. I think it would be great. But the health care plan is done. So the United States of America will continue at 16-17% of the GDP paying for health benefits. Old people are going to die with no health insurance, but no one's going to call that euthanasia. That's just the tough breaks. People are going to die without health insurance. American citizens will die without health insurance. Forget about old people. Just euthanasia by the exclusion based upon the economics will continue in America. Now, I could be stupid, too, and call that euthanasia. I could be just as stupid as the brightest jackass they got in the Tea Party Express and say the following thing. Euthanasia continues in America. People with no health insurance die. Some of them young, some of them old, but the euthanasia continues. Now, you see, that kind of logic, which was applied by the Tea Party Express, all of a sudden they're gonna call that dirty pool. If I'm laying on them a reality, man, this is a reality. This isn't one of their hallucinations. This isn't one of their pot brownie hallucinations. This is a reality. So you can kiss that health reform goodbye. It ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen in America. Obama gave it a great shot. It was something that he hung his hat on. The Tea Party people are going to be proud. Now they get to go back home and bitch about something else. And there will be a lot of things they'll be bitching about. They'll be bitching about the fact that they're paying too much in taxes, unless, of course, it has something to do with their little neck of the woods, in which case they will be telling their congressman, get back there to Washington, get some of that stimulus money. All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Roman Polanski will be back in the United States. At least that's what we're being told. The Swiss, all those people that make that great, all of the, you know, that, what do they make, chocolate and crap?
Yeah.
I guess they got cops because they busted Polanski. Bill Clinton says the vast right-wing conspiracy still exists. Oy. 877-876-PHIL. Welcome. Another week of fun and games. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Truth is our bitch.
It's the Phil Henry Show.
Phil. World famous Phil Henry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. On this radio show, you know, I don't know whether it's anything that's of interest to you, but you don't have to be a ditto head. And there's no disrespect meant to Rush, a great broadcast. I separate out great broadcasters from the rest, right? So if a guy knows what he's doing on the air, and, you know, he's an interesting guy, and he's a funny guy, and he's an entertainer, I don't give a damn what political philosophy is. I'll listen to him. Like, for instance, I like Rush. I like Lionel. Lionel's a liberal or a progressive or whatever the hell he's calling himself these days. Lionel, what the hell do you call yourself, man? Besides Lionel, which you should change that, I think.
Yeah, you should change it to, like, Bob.
We didn't get to change your name to Bob, man. So Lionel and Rush on the conservative and the liberal side, you know. Now, there isn't any other so-called conservative that I think is a good broadcaster out there. All right, so let's move that out for a second. Now, let's just talk about the ideologues, the guys that do the liberal and conservative shows. I wouldn't, for the whole group of them, I wouldn't give you $5. For the whole group, I wouldn't pay $5. That's how unoriginal and how off the point and how blind those bastards are. On this show, we don't play that. On this show, we support whatever's good for the country. And like I said at the beginning, you know, guy can say to me, well, everybody says they support the country. Everybody says they support the country because that sounds good, right? But they don't. They support being a conservative or a liberal long before they support the country. The country could end tomorrow in a nuclear holocaust. It wouldn't matter to them as long as they could still be a conservative or a liberal. Not on this show. And I don't care, man, if people think I'm sincere. I can't believe, I swear to God, I can't believe, man. I mean, I've been around a while, but I still can't believe how frozen with fear people are to, you know, just diverge a bit, just to step outside of the mainstream for a second, step away from their conservative or their progressive friends and just think for themselves. I mean, people are scared to death. I'm talking to some stupid bastard this weekend. What was it about? It was about something really obvious. Like, oh, yeah, this Facebook poll where the guy said, do you think it's cool, you know, what do you think, Obama ought to be assassinated? We'll do the story, and we'll get into it in detail. But some jackass on Facebook had a poll up, said, do you think Obama should be assassinated or not? And I said, that's outrageous. And this guy starts in with Bush. I had said many, many times, anybody that threatens a president, I don't give a damn who he is, belongs in a cage. But this guy couldn't let the opportunity pass.
Well, you know, they said it about Bush.
Would you just stop for a minute? We're talking about the President of the United States. Yes, I know they said it about Bush. I hated it then, and I still do. I heard everybody. I heard them all, man, threatening Bush, saying he should be assassinated, calling him every name in a book. I heard it. I've said this before. I ended a friendship based upon that individual sitting at a dinner I was buying for their ass, who started in with Bush ought to be assassinated. I said, that's it. I'm not going to sit here and break bread with a piece of crap like you. Goodbye. That's the end of it. That's the last time I ever talked to this scumbag. They thought they were having a nice, polite dinner conversation. Anyway, on this show, that kind of ideologic reflex is excoriated. It is hated. Now, we're talking about health care and the fact that it is a dead issue. And so now we go back to where we were. And where were we with a health care system? All of these old people that they said were going to be euthanized, well, they're going to be euthanized. They will continue to be euthanized now by way of the private health care industry that everybody thinks is so bloody great. And we will continue to spend the 16-17% of GDP on our health care in this country, although the health insurance companies may begin to rein in a little bit. But I got to tell you something. Like everybody says, you know, they're not in it for their health. They're here to make a profit. Are you trying to tell me that some conservatives may be in favor of limiting the profits even more of health care companies because it's out of control and we got to do something about it? Well, what are they going to say back to you? And all that money they've been giving you guys to get reelected. Oh, well, thank you very much. I don't think so, man. 877-876-PHIL. I don't think they're going to be too boogie-woogie with that at all. Here is Josh in Chattanooga. Josh, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's on your mind tonight, Josh?
Phil, it's great to talk to you. I got to say, this is my first time talking to you. And
I agree with
a lot of what you're saying. But my question for you today is, what exactly about the health care bill is it that you are supporting or that you liked about it?
I liked all three rails, all three options provided the American people. In other words, as I said so often, this was an Americanized version of the health care that other countries have. We allowed for a private option. We allowed for people to hold on to their insurance. And we had, if you will, a backstop of a national plan for people that couldn't afford either of the other. I liked that. I liked the American approach has always been, let's take an idea and make it American, which hopefully means it's better. And I felt this was a better idea.
Well, in some ways, in some respects, I do agree with you on that. But in one
what do you mean, in some ways, in some respects, you do agree with me? What does that mean?
Yes, well, the main, let's go back to ideologues. In fact, certain people throughout history have had ideologues and had their own ideas of how to deal with health care. And one of them was, I hate to say, the Nazi himself, Hitler.
Got nothing to do with America, got nothing to do with the modern times, got nothing to do with anything.
Well, yeah.
In fact, your understanding of history is a child's. You know, go back to your middle school textbooks, read up on how to spell Adolf, and get back to me. Phil Hendry's show will be back with more Roman Polanski's in the Slammer.
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, and our website is philhendryshow.com, where we have inaugurated our webisodes. We have our very first installment, which is a phone conversation between myself and Pastor William Renick and Vernon Dozier on the racial element in Obama's disapproval or approval. It's on our website right now. One of will be an ongoing series of webisodes on our website, as well as live streaming video of the show. So you're listening to the show right now. You can also watch the show if you want by going to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can also see the show on demand tomorrow and hear the show on demand tomorrow. You can download the audio into your iPod or wherever you download stuff. It's none of my business. I'm, you know.
Yeah, a little personal.
I know it's personal, but wherever you download, you know, whatever you load, or I mean download.
But you're not talking about a bowel movement.
Oh, okay. Thank you very much, Robert. I'm not talking about a bowel movement.
Of course he's not talking about a bowel movement. He's talking about the video pod. What do you mean video pod, man? What a retard.
Pod, the video cast. The video cast. Go over to the website and check it out. Okay? PhilHendryShow.com. That's PhilHendryShow.com. Just 41% of voters nationwide now favor the health care reform proposed by President Obama and congressional Democrats. That's down 2 points from a week ago and the lowest level of support yet measured. The latest Rasmussen report, national. Now, remember on Friday when we were trying to get this very number? We had to, I'm telling you, I can't even begin to tell you where we had to look. We had to go to some half-assed New York Times poll. They had who supports the public option as opposed to the New York Times. Don't ever, 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 New York Times CBS poll, don't ever believe that poll for love or money, man. If the New York Times starts pushing a poll at you, just tell them to bag that thing and get it out of your face. Who knows where it's been? But the Rasmussen reports, or the Rasmussen poll, which is part of Rasmussen reports, they seem to be credible, and we did find their poll on Friday, and it wasn't good, and we said so. Now the latest here says 41%. 56% say that they're opposed to the plan. Senior citizens are less supportive of the plan than younger voters. In the latest survey, just 33% of seniors favor the plan, while 59% are opposed. Well, that's good, Mr. and Mrs. Senior, because as you know, if that plan had gotten pushed through, you all would have been stuck in the back of a van with carbon monoxide pumped into it, and you would have all been killed and thrown into a ditch. So, hey, way to go. Jeez. Anyway, only 16% of the over 65 crowd strongly favors the legislation. For the first time ever, a slight plurality of voters now express doubt that the legislation will become law this year. That's meaningless, utterly meaningless. The important, that's asking voters, so what do you think about the political scene? You know, what do you think the mood is in Washington? That forget that, man. The only thing you need to ask people, do you favor it or don't you? And they don't. Now, it's a dead issue this year. It doesn't mean that Obama can't bring it up next year. And as I think about this, this is his first year as president. And Rance pointed this out. I think it's a good point. If the president can show that things such as these laws, which would disable insurance companies from throwing people off of plans because they had a pre-existing condition, throwing people off of plans because they get sick. I mean, hello, you got health insurance. That's where you're supposed to have health insurance. Telling somebody they're no longer qualified for health insurance. It doesn't become a game in which you're playing with the lives of the very people that you say you're in business to protect. I mean, some things we get business is business. We understand that. But you can't reasonably expect human beings to say, I get it. When you say you're in business to ensure that people's health care is covered, and then you throw somebody off a plan because they got sick. See, you jackasses in the health insurance business, with all due respect, because I know a lot of you supported the plan to a point, you're the guys that you cause your own demise every single time. Same thing with Detroit, and you name it, man. Same thing with the lending institutions. Same thing with the recording business. You know, not that it's a major employer, but, you know, the actual music industry, the recording business, the sale of CDs and records, not that anybody really cares, but they're on their last legs, man. Why is that? Because they decided that 15, 16, 18 bucks a CD, even when the music sucked or I could get it for free on the internet, it still made sense. You guys didn't decide to compete. What you guys decided to do is fight, and I understand fight for your right, you know, to party, but you ain't got no right necessarily to charge 18 bucks for a CD. I mean, you can try it, but if you get your ass handed to you out there in the marketplace, don't come squealing to me or anybody else that you might be squealing to, other than, you know, the obvious people that you squeal with in your private time, and say, it ain't fair. What ain't fair, man, that people don't want to pay your 18 bucks? It's the same thing all over, baby. It's the same thing all over. Times are tough. The healthcare business owes a lot of the problems, the insurance companies owe a lot of these problems they're experiencing to themselves. All right, so in any event, this is dead. It doesn't mean it's dead next year. It is very possible that, like we said, the president's able to sell other aspects of this plan that are palatable, that people see will work. Maybe he shouldn't have rolled it all out at once. Maybe he should have gotten some people who had gotten out of the third grade to actually talk about this with the American people. Maybe they should have slowed down. Maybe. A whole bunch of maybes. But I will say this. He was smart in putting it forth in his first year. And this will not be the last that you hear of it. And I'm betting that by the fourth year, we're going to see a overhaul of the health care industry. We'll see an overhaul of how we view health care. And we'll probably see a national plan, maybe different from the one that's been proposed. But these Tea Party people can't keep up this kind of rancor. They don't have it in them. They're reacting to a lot of atmospherics, man. They're reacting to a lot of stuff. Frankly, I don't even want to talk about it. I think a lot of you people know what I mean, though. They're reacting to things that are new, shall we say. They're reacting to new ideas in a negative way. They're reacting to a new president in a negative way. And they're just all excited, you know. They're just all in a titter. A year, 2 years down the road, when they begin to calm down and they realize the commies haven't taken over and that Obama may have shown himself to be a better president than they thought he would be, they're going to come off their high horse and they're going to come off of all of their stupidity about Nazis and euthanasia and all this other stuff. And they may be actually able to see the sense in some of this stuff. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Let's go to another phone call. It's Terry in Nashville. Terry, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on tonight?
Hey, Phil, thanks a lot for being the first person that I've heard with a national audience to point out that the death panels that Sarah Palin mentioned or the euthanasia that you mentioned already has been going on for decades with the insurance industry.
Yes. We have seniors dying as we speak because they don't have health insurance. Yeah.
And the money, the $1.4 million a day that the healthcare industry is spending fighting this could do a lot of healthcare. So could the 56% of malpractice that's committed by less than 6% of the doctors do a lot of healthcare instead of damage.
Let's talk about that malpractice for a minute. Are these people honestly asking that even if you have a valid, legitimate claim against a doctor for malpractice, that you not be allowed to file that?
Evidently.
Are they simply... Well, that's I've never heard of that before. Talk about limiting an individual's right to due process and the laws of the land. Now, if there are people who are filing frivolous suits, of course I understand that. Throw their asses out. I don't know how you were able to adjudicate that necessarily. I mean, a judge can throw out anything he wants, I suppose. But if someone has a legitimate, if somebody has a legitimate claim against a doctor for malpractice, are these fools saying,
well, you know what? If these people didn't sue these doctors because they, you know, amputated their leg when they were supposed to take their appendix out, why we wouldn't have all of these costs?
Right.
That's one of those marvelous arguments that actually plays. You know, I mean, they got a lot of mileage out of that.
It's unbelievable. I agree.
It's unbelievable. All right. Thank you very much, Terry. It's good to talk to you this evening. I appreciate it very much. Let's move on to Demetrius in Newport News, Virginia. Demetrius, what's going on tonight? What's on your mind?
Hey, Phil. Thank you very much for taking my call, and I want to thank you for everything that you do on the radio.
Thanks.
I want to say that I do support health care reform, but I don't know that I could support it without a public option. I think this is such an important debate. I think it's been hijacked by the Republicans and by some Democrats who maybe have an interest in not seeing health care reform pass in its the form that it was presented. But I can't think of anything more important. You know, when a family has a child or a husband or a wife diagnosed with cancer, it's a crisis at first, but it becomes a financial calamity, and it destroys, you know, it could destroy them for years and years. And I think that being the greatest country on this planet, it just shouldn't happen here.
Well, you know, that's a good argument, Demetrius, and that's a reality. Yeah. But I think when you're talking to certain people, you have to speak their language. You know, I mean, if you and I travel to Czechoslovakia, we speak that language, or we try to. If we go to Japan, we speak that language. Because to speak the language of the people that are opposed to this, we need to. And like I said, there's 3 more years for this president, and the next president, I have a feeling Republican or Democrat's going to bring it up too.
Sure.
You say to them what you said to people when you told them they had to have car insurance. Say, this is going to save you money. You guys are getting hammered every quarter or every month with a new bill that says you're paying more for your premiums because there's uninsured people out there. We need to protect you, the consumer.
Yes.
See?
Absolutely.
And the way to protect you, the consumer, is to demand that these people have insurance. And that way you are protected. I think you have to put it in a language that they understand. I don't think it plays with them when as good a guy as you are, Demetrius, and I believe that, when you say this is devastating to families, you know, the existential reality of life is tough. You know, it's tough all around, baby. You know,
sure.
It's cruel, but that's the reality.
Sure.
People need to understand. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm just going to say that I think that a lot of this opposition, you know, I mean, we know that a lot of it is from people who listen to talk radio, but, you know, the people that they listen to, Limbaugh and Hannity and whoever else, Bortz, they're millionaires. You know, they can take a stand against it, and it's not going to affect
them. Hey, man, ain't it the truth? Hey, you know, I was saying that in the pre-show. You know, we did an uncensored pre-show.
Yeah.
People would rather trust the words of guys that are making 7 figures and don't have to tell the truth, just make advertisers happy. They don't have to tell the truth. They'd rather trust them than a guy that makes 1/10 that in Washington, who's breaking his ass trying to make sense out of a public opinion and trying to get something done. They think they're liars. But you know, O'Reilly, well, they can trust him. Yeah, sure. Just count your fingers, baby. Thank you very much, Demetrius. Good call. What is that about? Because somebody want to explain that to me? How is it that we and it's a grand American tradition, I understand it, but remember that the tradition of criticizing and mocking politicians started way back in the early days of this country, before we had a moneyed class of spokespeople and pundits of public speakers. That's what you would have called in the 19th century. If you can imagine somebody traveling the countryside and giving stump speeches and making nothing but money doing it, other than politicians. Today we have a class of oracles. You know, in the days of Greece, in the old days of Rome, they had what they called oracles. They would go down to the old bag who lived under a tree someplace, and she's some old bag living in a shack, and they'd say, she's the oracle of the tree. And they'd go, tell us, Oracle. And she'd sit there, and she'd roll her eyeballs back up in her head, and she'd put on this act, and she'd say, blah, 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 blah. And they'd all run back, and they'd say, the Oracle said. And then meanwhile, she'd be saying, man, I got to stop it with those eyeballs.
Get yourself some glasses.
I'm going to have to do that. All right. Today we have a money class of oracles who make $25, $50 million a year on these networks, and they lie or they tell the truth. It all depends on what's going to get an audience, and it doesn't matter. And people believe them. Well, you see, people are going to say to me, I get it. It's in the DNA. We can't stop listening to them. Even if a guy says to me, I understand what you're saying, Phil. I don't really believe him. People, they still believe him. All right, our number is 877-876, world famous, 877-876-PHIL. Here on a world famous Phil Henry Show. Among other news we're going to get to tonight, Roman Polanski fights extradition to the United States from Switzerland. And Facebook, on Facebook, there was a poll asking if Obama should be killed or not. Whoever the person was that put that poll up obviously wasn't very bright, because that's a violation. It could be interpreted as a violation of federal law. We'll get a little bit into that. Just exactly what is it? What does it mean to make a threat against the president? I think that's a threat. Some people are going to say, well, it's a minor. Nah, it's a threat. All right, 877-876-PHIL. And Canada outranks the United States in a health care report card. Well, now there's a big news flash if ever I heard one. How do you like that, huh? Shut my mouth. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.
Listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
According to this story, this is from Reuters, as well as our great producer, Jason Rantz, Canada outperforms the United States in health outcomes. What does that mean, outcomes? Canada outperforms the United States in health outcomes, but is well behind global leaders like Japan and overall health of its population, according to a Canadian report. This was a report done by the Conference Board of Canada. And it reported Canada 10th out of 16 developed countries, giving them a B in the health of their citizens. The United States got a D, and we're 16th out of, is this out of 16 countries? I guess they could have made it out of 20, but there's 16 countries listed here, and we're right at the bottom with a D. The Conference Board of Canada is a, and I'm quoting, independent, not-for-profit, applied research organization in Canada, which builds leadership capacity for a better Canada by creating and sharing insight. Well, okay. It's a group of people that probably, you know, sponsored in some way by businesses, a think tank, if you will. Canada has been at the center of much of the debate on U.S. health care reform. Since Canada ranks ahead of the United States in all but one indicator of health status, it is clear that we are getting better results. But when we look beyond the narrow Canada-U.S. comparison to the rest of the world, Canadians rank in the middle of the pack in terms of their health care. Most of the data on which the report was based is from 2006, and as you know, President Obama's pledge to change America's health care system. At the very top was Japan with an A, Switzerland with an A, Italy with an A, Norway with an A. Now, of those four countries, perhaps the one that could be credibly compared to the United States is Japan, just because it has far more people than Switzerland, Italy, or Norway. France has a B, and Germany a B. Germany ranks above Canada. And we always talk about Canada because Canada's to the north of us. There's a lot of people that come south for health care because they want it faster than what they're getting in Canada. And understand something. When they want it faster, we're not talking about a critical, life-threatening, or serious illness. We're not talking, it may be in the mind of the person, but according to the medical authorities, if somebody has got, you know, wants electrolysis for their lip hair, and maybe they just think that's the most critical thing there is going, well, it just might not be in the opinion of some doctors, so go ahead, get in your car and drive south to the States. Maybe you didn't get your prosthetic limb in 2 weeks. Maybe you want to get it in 1 week, and you know a company in America that'll get it to you in 1 week. So you go down to the States and you get your prosthetic limb or your glass eyeball or whatever you're looking for. But if you got cancer, if you have serious ailments, an ailment that is life-threatening, critical ailment, you go to the front of the line in Canada. Now, that's a fact. That's a fact. 877-876-PHIL. And let's go over to Don in New York. Don, you're on the Phil Henry Show. And what's going on with you tonight, Don? How you doing?
How you doing, Phil? I just had
good,
a call.
Thanks.
You know, I was listening, and this fellow that was on a few calls prior, the one who was trying to make that, you know, connection between health reform or health care and Hitler.
I just
had to call up and kind of put this out there for the people, because I've been listening to talk radio a lot, and I've never heard anybody mention this book or mention this system or mention anything. But since you were just talking about Germany there and France and all these things, There's a book by a fellow named T.R. Reid. Have you heard of the book, The Healing of America?
No, I haven't.
Okay.
What is it?
A great book. I would urge everybody to read this, everybody from Barack Obama to Rush Limbaugh, so people could finally start to talk with some knowledge about this stuff. Okay, this guy, he went around the world and examined all these different systems. Okay, to make a long story short, there's really only four systems that countries use in this world to deliver health care. Okay? The English use a system known as the Beveridge system. It was invented by some guy named Beveridge, that was Lord Beveridge. I don't know. He came up with the plan. That's what they use, okay? It's, you could call that socialized medicine, I guess, because the state owns the hospitals. There's another plan called fee for out-of-pocket, which is what they use in, like, third-world countries and also here for people who don't have health care, okay? Canada has national health insurance. That's a single-payer thing, right? Canada does not own the hospitals or the doctor's offices or pay the doctor. You know, that they, okay, so that's what that is. The fourth kind is known as the Bismarck model, right? And this is what Germany...
I don't have a lot of time. Just tell me quickly. I got 10 seconds.
Okay. This is the Bismarck model. This is, was formed by Otto von Bismarck in 1883, okay? This is what Germany has used that entire
All right, I'm going to look into that, brother. I got to take a break. The Bismarck model, though, I got it. Not Sink the Bismarck.
Yeah, that's a song.
No, different Bismarck. Well, same Bismarck, but not the boat.
Hendry.
Not the ship.
Learn more at talkradionetwork.com.